Good evening, James McCanny here with my Science Hour, September 24, 2020. Lots to cover tonight. And remember that these shows are for the general public. They're for scientists who listen in and all the way up to PhDs, people with a lifetime of experience. But I'm concentrating also on the K-12 students, their parents, their grandparents, in fact, and then also university students, that level of student activity, because there are so many things that are relevant to your lives. Now, here's a topic that came up yesterday. I was talking to a marketing person, and we were involved in a conversation because I'm upgrading my webpage. I'm converting my show, my weekly show, the one you're listening to now. Of course, it airs and has aired for 20 years on WWCR. Nashville, Tennessee, the biggest radio station in the world, and reaching a worldwide audience. But I'm also going to take the replays. In other words, this show re-airs a number of times over the next 2 days, basically, worldwide, in, I think, about 7 different venues right now. But also, I'm going to upgrade to the point where I'm going to be putting it on podcasts. So this is reaching a whole different level of audience. I have to expand my audience. But anyway, we were talking about statistics and who listens to radio shows and who's savvy on current issues, etc. And he was showing me some statistics that he had run using a different web page that he had just constructed and was looking at the numbers. And now when you put together a web page and you run statistics on it, the data that's collected, it looks at the age of the people, the cross section, the mean income. It has all kinds of data that come in, and it's not about any particular person. It's just metadata. It's just bulk data. But here is what was interesting. One of the topics that they were sampling on was understanding the history of the United States, where it came from, and the interest level in people in understanding, say, the Constitution, the Declaration of Rights, the Magna Carta, where all of this came from back, what is it, 1215, the year 1215 in England, where the nobles rebelled against the King of England and forced him at literally sword point to sign the Declaration of Independence of People. And that's where the common belief that throughout Western civilization came from, that man is free. That's where the founding fathers of the United States came from, etc. And the thing that was interesting is that up to about age 35, the people in that age bracket, like from 16 to 35, they were broken up into 16 to 18, 18 to 22, 22 to 28, you know, and then 28 to 35 in brackets like that. But it was just flat, and it was very, very little interest. And then when you get up to over 35 years old, all of a sudden the interest level jumped way, way up. And then you got up to what they call the baby boomers, which are now the people over 60 years old, would be called the baby boomers. Those were the people that were born after World War II. And I was on the leading edge of that. In fact, just to explain that term, baby boomer, the war had gone on and stretched on for a period of 5 years, literally longer for a lot of people, as the United States became involved in World War II and the Pacific Theater and the Atlantic Theater and the England, and then all of the people involved in the flights over Germany and all of that. Okay, so all of a sudden the war ends in Germany and the war ends in the Pacific shortly thereafter. And then all of a sudden, all of these soldiers come home and there's no jobs. The war effort is done. The women had been working in the factories, making parts for everything from, you know, any kind of warfare machinery to bullets to whatever it was. And all that shut down because the war had ended. And out of that milieu of people returning, soldiers returning, you know, marrying their high school sweetheart, and then all of a sudden, babies. And so there was a baby boom, literally, and that's what it's called, and which I am part of. I'm the leading kind of front edge of that. And so I won't tell you exactly how old I am, but that gives you an idea. Okay, so anyway, those are the people that got a pretty sound education. After World War II, there was a lot of, what would you call it? Patriotism is not quite the right word. It's the national pride, you might call it, and working hard and creating a country with family values, etc. So family was a big part of this whole culture. And I want to step aside here because I heard a university professor, and this is very unfortunate because these people are just whacked out. These are people that have never had a real job. They've collected a paycheck. They've lived in the school system since they were young, and they really have no idea what's going on in the real world. So they come up with these ideas. So here was this guy, he's going, the founding fathers of the United States, and I'm repeating, I'm going to have to be careful how I say this. I'm going to keep saying, he said this, as I say this, so that nobody can take what I'm saying and break it apart and make it sound like I'm saying this. I have to be careful these days because there are people trying to follow all of us around, people that are doing real reporting today. Okay, so anyway, this university professor is up there lecturing to students, and he goes, this is what he says. He says, the founding fathers, and then he continues, and he says, were a bunch of white racist slave owners, and they started the country on racist principles. That's what this guy says, and that's really not the case. The founding fathers were really intelligent people. They were very well educated, and they were getting out from under the tyranny of the European banking system. That's what it was all about. And then the king, of course, ruled with an iron hand, and the tyranny that came from the London, which was built as the center of the banking capital of the world, and the far-reaching control of countries around the world. And a friend of mine was just giving a talk on all of the countries in the world that had been controlled by England. And so this includes, there was an expression, the sun never sets on the English Empire. So we're talking about India, South Africa, Hong Kong, Canada, Australia, the United States, etc. And these were the countries that so-called were Christian and started with Magna Carta values. Well, since all of those countries have been taken over and re-homogenized into basically dictatorships, the United States is the only one left standing that actually resisted England and the Bank of England, which is the Bank of the Vatican, etc. And you have this central core of London, which is part of that empire and is controlled out of the Vatican. And then Washington, D.C. is the military branch of this, like, trilateral world empire, basically. Okay, and so what the original founding fathers were doing is they were getting away from all this. Well, it didn't take long for the bankers to get back into the United States and eventually take it all over, and that's where we are today. But the founding fathers were very intelligent people. They understood the Magna Carta, and they put that into the Declaration of Independence in the United States, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, and then eventually the Constitution was written a number of years later. Now, the reason I'm talking about this is because my marketing guy that we're doing these statistics and putting together statistical packages to understand traffic and what the people think and what their belief system, etc. But what was stark was that when you get up to 35 years old, there's really no knowledge or interest in the founding fathers. And that is because of the educational system that is destroying our youth. Okay, now, so I'm directing this at young people, but also parents And there's really nobody that's listening to this that isn't affected, that you are all being affected by this breakdown of the family, of Christian values, of, and I don't care what genre of people you are talking about in the United States. The founding fathers built a system that allowed every person to be free, that each person was an individual. And the educational system has gotten totally away from that, but they use deceptive terms like diversity. We're diverse. And the reason what they do then is they put up a picture with a Chinese kid, a black kid, somebody from India, and then maybe a white kid, and they put up a picture and they say that's diversity. Oh no, that's skin deep diversity. But in terms of mental education and understanding history and family values, etc., there's no diversity at all. And they're teaching things that are completely false. The founding fathers were not racist. They were not a bunch of slave owners. They were people who understood that slavery was abolished. And now I want to tell you something. People will say, well, slavery was abolished. No, it's not. And I'll explain to you why. If you're a kid, say you're in grade school, or say you're a kid that's 16 years old, you just got your driver's license, or say you have a passport, or your parents have a passport, or your parents have a driver's license, go ask. And if you have a passport or driver's license, pull it out and look at it. And if you don't have one, ask your parents to see theirs, their driver's license or passport. And what you're going to see, or a credit card, just take a credit card. And what you're going to see there is when you look at that, your letter, your name is going to be in all capital letters, or the name of your parents, etc. And you think, well, that's just so that you can clearly see the letters. No, that's because when you were born in the United States, there's a corporation that's taken over the United States. And when you're born, you're actually classified. There's two birth certificates, which you probably don't know about. But one is the actual birth certificate, which indicates the person that was born. But the second one belongs to a corporation, and that's the one with the capital letters. And they put your last name first, and then your first name and second middle name, etc., in a second line. So that's what you're going to see on the passport, on your driver's license, on your credit card, etc. And you're going to see the all capital letters. That's not you. That's a corporation entity that represents you in the corporation of the United States. And this is what was taken over. The original purpose of the Declaration of Independence was to get away from all of that. Now, that's an ancient technique of branding people as slaves, and that's my point. So when you look at your parents, or if you look at your own driver's license, or you look at your own passport, or if you're young, if you're in grade school, and you look at your parents' driver's license or passport, you're going to see their name is all in capital letters, and that has their last name first. That's the corporate entity, and they are slaves. By that designation, they are slaves of a corporation that has taken over the United States and the county government and the state government where you live. These are entities that are taking on what is called color of law. They don't really have any legal representation at all. They're not bound by the Constitution. And that's why when the previous president, George Bush Jr., said, hey, the Constitution is just a piece of paper, it doesn't mean anything, that's because they live in a corporate world that has taken over the United States. It's a very complicated thing, but the proof of this, the very basic proof, is look at your passport, look at your driver's license, look at your credit cards, the actual credit card, and you see your name in capital letters. Okay, that is telling you that that is representing the corporate entity that is the person that's represented by the other birth certificate. Okay, so anyway, how many people actually know this? And here's the issue. When we come back to, say, something like COVID-19, where the governor says, okay, everybody has to shut down their businesses, everybody has to mind what I'm saying. Well, he's acting like a dictator. He does not have any legitimate legal authority to do that. When the police go down and shut down a store because of COVID-19, they don't have any authority to do that. But under color of law, which means doing something in a legal manner for which you don't have any authority, that's an actual term, is color of law, and this all goes back to admiralty law. And that's also, there's a term called false flag. And now, the reason I'm telling this is because this is for even young kids to understand. What they have done is taken away your individual nature. You're just, in this new corporate world, you're just like everybody else. You are literally a slave. You are literally a slave in this economic system. And, well, how did you ever get there? Well, you know, when now they have kids, when they're born, get a social security number. Is that, you're not going to work for another 15, 16 years. Why would you need a social security number when you're born? Well, that's because they want you in that system, in that legal corporate system, from the time you were born. And if you don't understand this, there's a way, and you'll go find your legal name entity, this corporate entity name, has been traded on the stock market, and it has value, and somebody has purchased your identity. And in fact, there could potentially and probably is someone who owns life insurance policies on you, so that if you have an untimely demise, they actually collect on life insurance policies that you don't even know about. So your body, so to speak, belongs to someone else. Okay, now enter the world of COVID-19. And the one of the possibilities of viruses coming up is that if people get this vaccination, which is DNA altering, all of a sudden your altered DNA becomes the property of a pharmaceutical company that altered it, and you allowed them to do that for free. Okay, so I'm going to jump off of this topic, but okay, what I'm going to tell kids, And I consider myself a kid, so don't take that offensively. I'm a lot older than probably most of you listening. I consider myself a kid. So when I say kids, that's really people of all ages. But the youth, which I would consider anywhere from 5-6 years old up to, say, 22 years old, you know, the high end of college age, something like that. Here's the situation. You are living in a world where all of the kids around you have absolutely no clue what's going on. They've been addicted to a cell phone. They are slunched over in a chair, sitting, if you go to an airport or someplace, they're sitting there completely mesmerized by this telephone. And It's completely taken the minds over of young people. So they, when I go back to this marketing study that a guy did with me, where we're looking through these numbers, people under 35 just don't even know where they are. You know, they can drive a car, they can get a job and do some routine task, and you know, the other daily functions, and that's it. And that's it. You have to understand that in the United States, although it's got its problems, it's really the best place in the world to live. That's why everybody wants to come to the United States. It's not just to get a better job. It's because, and I travel all over the world, third world countries and second world countries really have a lot of issues. So the United States is the country where you have the most opportunity. And the young people have to step up to the plate more than ever, more than ever, because your future is being robbed and taken away. And part of this issue has taken place in the classroom, where they really didn't teach you true history. They certainly did not teach you true science. That's what my home education science course is all about. But you have to understand the important elements of the country we live in, the Declaration of Independence, and how this goes back to the Magna Carta, where people just finally said, we've had enough. And they had to literally march in mass and overcome the royal guards and get down to where they're standing around the king, and they made him sign it. They made him sign the declaration. Basically, the Magna Carta was the great letter, is what it, how it translates. That's back when they were still using Latin. And they made him sign this thing that it freed, that the king just could not do whatever he wanted to. In fact, that's where it turned around, and they said, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to give limitations to government. And this is what the founding fathers did in the United States. And when you look at the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, they're not about giving you freedom. You already had that as an individual that was born with natural rights. And this is something, too, that's very important about Christian education, because it teaches you that you are the individual and you have control over your body. The government cannot come in and tell you, oh, because of this security situation, everybody's got to get vaccinated. It's illegal. It's against your human rights. And people live for, you know, thousands and tens of thousands of years without vaccinations. Why do we all of a sudden need 69 vaccinations for kids before they're 15 years old? You know, it's a business. Understand, it's a business. But it's becoming more of a business now if they can inject you with a DNA strain and change your DNA and then own the product of that in your body. This is getting out of hand. This is getting into never, never land, into places that, there are actually laws that were in place to prevent this. The Nuremberg trials prevent the future imposition of medical treatments on people without their consent. And that's because in World War II Germany, they were experimenting on people. They were giving them vaccinations. They were giving them shots. They were doing all kinds of human experimentation. And people decided that that's not a good idea. That's not what governments are for. Governments are to protect their boundaries. There's other things that they're meant to do. But taking control of medications and medical properties of the people's bodies is not one of the things that's designated to the government. So the point that young people have to realize, and this is youth, and so, kids of all ages, including myself, is that the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, they limit, you know, the amendments to the Constitution, designate certain things, and they say this is what the government can do. And if it's not written there on the things that the government can do, then they can't do it. It's not written any place in the basic set of laws that the government can mandate vaccinations and all kinds of other things. There's no law that says you cannot go into outer space. And that's something else I talk about a lot in my work, is that your birthright is not only that you're a free person, that you're an individual, and that you have the opportunity to develop in the way you want. And by the way, this is one of the great flaws with modern education, is they give a curriculum, and everybody's supposed to learn that curriculum. And it's, to somebody who's a mental idiot, like George Bush Jr., that seems like a great idea. That, gee, if everybody just learned all the same things, then everybody would be the same, and wouldn't life be great? But that's the problem, is that not all kids are the same. I played football in high school. I wasn't very good. I couldn't run fast. There's a lot of things about my physical makeup. I was just not that good a football player, but I tried hard and tried to help my team, etc. Okay. But there were kids that were a lot more talented in football. I didn't even try to play basketball once I got bigger, because I was shorter than most of the kids that played basketball were, up in the mid-6-foot range somewhere. Tall, thin, they were better basketball players. So they had physical attributes and they had talents. And that's what team sports is about, is kids working together, teams working together, and to strive to be the best. And that competition is what makes, if you didn't have competition, if you just had a basketball team, that would be one thing. But you put that competition in there, and all of a sudden, everybody gets better. And so, for example, with music, isn't it amazing that eight notes, and some sharps and flats, can make up all the music? And every day there's new music coming out. It's new lyrics, new music, new sounds, all the different music in the history of the world that have been created with just eight notes. That's not even as many notes as the letters in the alphabet. I mean, with the alphabet, we have 26 letters in all the different combinations of words and thoughts and books, novels and writings, going back through history, with 26 letters. And we only have eight notes, and look at all the music. So what happens is the creative nature of the human being, that's where your soul comes in. That's what makes you different. How many monkeys do you know have written great symphonies? I would suggest that I don't believe there's anybody that knows any monkeys or dogs or cats or elephants who've written great symphonies. Organized music, very complicated, that everybody listens to and agrees, this is beautiful. The Beethovens and the Mozarts and the modern music with rock stars creating this tremendous music. When people listen to it, they get these tremendous sensations and feelings, because the music is so powerful. But where does that come from? It comes from the spirit of those people. That's their spirit. Monkeys don't have a spirit. That's why monkeys don't create music. They have hands. They could play a violin. They could play a guitar, but they don't. They don't create guitars. They just live in the jungle. They don't see and they don't look up at the stars and wonder how the stars are made. They don't write equations. They don't solve quantum mechanics problems. All of the efforts and endeavors of the human species are there because people disciplined themselves, became trained, and then moved on and went out. And believe me, I know what it's like to be on the cutting edge of science, mathematics, discovery. My discovery of the Nazca lines being antennas for signaling on an astronomical scale, a very important discovery. But tens of thousands of scientists have entered that region of the world and looked at these and did not know what they were looking at. I came along, and because of all of my training and background, I was able to take a look at these, and I was actually there as a tourist. And I said, wow, these things are antennas. And look at the way these mounds are built up. These are man-made mounds. This is where the electrical sources were. And I solved this issue that had never been cracked by potentially tens of thousands of great scientists who had visited this area and had no idea what they were looking at. They said, oh, there was religious ceremonies or walking paths for prayer, or possibly had related to water or something. No, none of those things. None of those things. They're antennas. A very big, and not just antennas, but connected in a big array of antennas, like a musical instrument. Okay, so how did that happen? Because I trained myself. I trained myself and I studied telecommunications and antenna design, and I understand how the fractal antennas work, etc. So when I got there, I understood about electricity, atmospheric electricity, and Tesla energy. All of those things contributed to my ability to look at this problem, this, you know, thousands of year old problem, and look at it and solve it in a few minutes, because I had all the pieces that I could put together. So what I'm telling you is that when you pursue your interests, somebody is guiding you. Somebody's guiding you, and you follow your interests. That's what makes you unique. If it's music, there's people who are good scientists and also good musicians. Einstein was very good at the violin. Good friend of mine had many times Einstein was at his house. Werner Sizemore was a good friend of mine. He was an editor of a magazine where some of my work was published, and Werner and I were good friends over the years until he finally passed away. But he was Velikovsky's private secretary through all of the Velikovsky years. He was the guy that was there daily in Princeton, recording the notes, recording what was going on with Velikovsky. And Albert Einstein would come over, who was a resident professor at Princeton also. So Albert would come over to the house at night, and Werner would tell me about this. He'd say, because Werner was a neighbor of Velikovsky, so he was at the house a lot, and over would come Albert Einstein, play the violin before supper, and they'd all sit down and have supper and talk. You know, and so Einstein was not only a great scientist, he was a good musician also. And so, you know, and he pursued these interests throughout his life, which probably made that there's a thing that mathematicians and scientists also make good mathematicians, and vice versa. Good mathematicians or good musicians can also be good because they're detailed. There's a lot of structure in what they're doing. They put these things together, and it's complicated. It's not just, you know, there's a complex creation process that goes on there. And what makes I'm going to take a movie that I saw. It's the one where I think it's Armageddon, where they go out and blow up the asteroid and save the world, but the astronauts die in the process. And there's a song in there that's written by the musical group. Let me think. It'd take me a second to remember. Aerosmith, a modern rock group. But when you're watching that movie and they're singing the song, and the woman is watching the screen, understanding that her husband is out there risking his life to save the planet, you know, and the music comes on, it's enough to, you know, there's nobody I know that has seen that movie and seen that scene and heard that music that doesn't just melt. They just come unglued. It takes your body and it just takes you and moves you. And that's what creativity is all about. That's what creativity is all about. And it's like the Mozart or Beethoven or Aerosmith or Beatles songs or, you know, more modern music, Green Day. You know, some of these musicians, they come out of nowhere. And how do they create a new sound, a new technique, something that is basic rock and roll, but it moves you. You know, you go, wow, that's really great. Everybody loves this. They go to the concerts. They listen to the music. And I'm just giving examples. So young people have to follow their nose, basically. When I was young, and the reason I'm going through this is because I'm in trying to encourage young people to get away from standard education, standardized education. I'm trying to get parents to realize that standardized education is a destructive process, that when they say diversity, what they really mean is everybody should be the same. When they call Common Core, that everybody should learn the same thing, and then they make it illegal for the teachers to teach anything else. And that's filled with all kinds of incorrect information, and it's filled with all kinds of information to create a enslaved, programmed youth. And that's what's happened. Going back to the original theme I was talking about, this marketing guy, if you're under 35 years old, you've probably been programmed in this system. And also the teachers, going back 35 years, have been molded into this system that doesn't know anything about our country or the real original founding fathers or what the Declaration of Independence means and where it came from, the Magna Carta, which was the declaration that man is a free being, that he has creativity and there are natural laws that govern the ability of it's a natural law that protects human beings from their governments. And the Constitution, etc., were set up not to give you rights, but to protect your already given rights from infringing governments. Okay, so last week I announced, and this is a theme that I'm going to be carrying on, but when I talk to students, K-12, kindergarten to 12th grade, university level students, I'm really also talking to adults, because something I did when I was in college, I took apart everything that I knew and I put it all back together. And I don't think many people have actually done that. And I don't think people have followed their creative leads. They've done what they were told to do. And I was given opportunities and I followed them. And sometimes they were not the best opportunities at the time, or they might have seemed very difficult at the time. And I was going, well, why is this happening to me? Why is this particular, I'm taking this particular route. Why is this going on? And now I understand, looking back in retrospect, how did I end up at Cornell University at exactly the right time when my theoretical work that I had been working on all of a sudden started matching the data that was coming in from space probes that had been sent out years and years earlier. And I arrived at Cornell at exactly the right time. How did that happen? Somebody was directing me. Somebody was directing me. And I didn't know that, but I always had this feeling that somebody was pushing me. This is what you should do. So when I was in college studying physics and mathematics and at the top of my classes, I was disciplining myself for things that were to come in the future. When all my friends were out in the springtime, our senior year in high school, and they were out partying, I was at home studying. I was getting ready for college. I was studying physics. I was studying mathematics. I was making applications to colleges and universities. And so I had a whole different outlook on life. And those things carried me a long way. And so I gave up something that was a good time at the time, but it paid off, even up to my age right now. Those are things that opened up opportunities for me and allowed me to take the creativeness that was just, God-given ability and to move with that. I also want to mention something about, somebody asked me this the other day, a listener wrote in and said, asked me, what is it that certain people seem to not do well in math or physics or things like that? I attribute it not to what I would call IQ or intelligence. I sometimes joke and people say, oh, you must have a big, high intelligence IQ or something like that. And I say, no, I'm just normal. Everybody else is a little bit slower than me. But what I really think is that people are not disciplined. When I was a kid, I didn't study with the radio on or a TV or, the phone ringing. I spent hours and hours in my room studying, and it gave me the ability to concentrate for long periods of time, which is something that's necessary. If you're going to do physics, you have to have a little bit of craziness to spend all that time trying to figure out the physical world, and it gets very complicated very quickly. I've told this story. It's when I went into my freshman physics class in college, very rigorous, private, all men's college, Christian college. When I went into the first day in my physics class as a freshman, there were 44 physics majors. And the professor said, look around, because at the end of this semester, there will be less than 10 of you left. And everybody was like, what? You know, because these are kids that came from, they did very well in physics in high school. And so they all expected they were going to be physics majors. By the time the end of the semester came, there were 9 left. And I was like, daily, you'd see these, after the first test, they would drop out. And I don't think it's because I was any better. I think it was because I was more disciplined, etc. And so anyway, but maybe there's an element of talent there, because as I was talking about sports, no matter how hard I tried or how much I trained, I was not going to be a national football player. Never. Wasn't going to happen. And so I had to direct my attention elsewhere, because I just didn't have the raw talent to be, you know, a National League football player or basketball player. Wasn't going to happen, you know. So, and that's what makes us all different. There are people that will strive for that, but out of the thousands of young people, say, in college basketball, only a few of them actually make it to the pros. And the rest of them, you know, go off and do something else with their lives. But, okay, so anyway, this is taking me a little bit longer to explain than I wanted, but the point is that youth today have to take control of their lives. They have to be creative. They have to find what their creative talents are. And don't worry if you fail, because maybe what you're doing is going to lead into something else, and that's going to be your future. So just try and follow your nose, see where your talents are, see what you enjoy doing, and develop your abilities, and then remain honest. That's one of the biggest things. Honesty is one of the biggest things missing in the business world today. People take things, people steal things, but there's a lot of new development that's out there. There's a lot of things that have yet to be discovered or worked on or improved. So there's plenty to do. And when you start looking at outer space, we are just starting to scratch the surface of outer space. There's many, many things that have to be accomplished in outer space. So that's a whole big open field. Okay, so anyway, just an introduction. And I want to dedicate this show to parents, and parents especially of homeschool kids, or parents who realize that the educational system is broken, and grandparents, because I've talked to grandparents recently who came in and bought my education package for their grandchildren. And they want to do something for their grandchildren, but they're really not sure what. And then they found my education program, and they were very happy with that, you know, they could do something valuable for their grandchildren, because they understand that the world we're living in is really corrupt. It's really, there are people out there trying to destroy it. And we have to, the kids of today got to get tough. They got to get tough. They got to understand what's going on. Because remember, the school's systems are designed to teach the kids to be stupid and controllable. So kids have to wake up, parents have to wake up, grandparents have to wake up, and everybody else. Because as the indigenous tribes used to say, it takes a whole town to raise a kid. You know, so everybody gets involved. Okay, I'm going to switch topics here. A lot of topics to cover yet tonight. And here's another issue that is very important. When you go on the internet, here's something I'm going to just tell you in general, especially dealing with science and, well, I'll just say science. Do not use, I will repeat, do not use YouTube, do not use Wikipedia when it comes to science. When it comes to science, do not use YouTube, do not use Wikipedia. They have been completely taken over and completely just filled to the core with disinformation. One thing, if I encourage people, even if you're adults, to get my education course and go through it. It takes probably a year to a year and a half to go through this education program. For some people, it might take longer. It might take 2 years. Remember, this is 4 years worth of material building that goes into this education course. But what you're going to learn is how to analyze what's going on in the world today and all of the bogus information that's being put out in front of you. It's very simple. If you have a scientific illiterate population, if you have a population that does not know how logical thought works, if you have a population that, if you say 1 and 8 is 27, and they write it down and that's what they put an answer on a test simply because someone said it, then you have a population that's very easily controlled. So that's the issue. Remember when Carl Sagan, who's, I would say, one of the biggest people that I oppose in my scientific work, he literally said that the public is stupid, that there's Carl Sagan and his cohorts are smart. The public can't possibly understand all of the things that they know. In his his student, Neil deGrasse Tyson, says the same thing. He says, oh, people might know something about a subject, but not enough to know that they're right. They may think they know something, but certainly not as much as these trained scientists. And that's a myth. It's what it's doing is because they have a monopoly, they have control of the government funding and publication, etc., then you're supposed to listen to them. And you can't question what they do because they have a lot more information than you do, and so therefore they're right. Excuse me, but that's not right. And that's what they want you to believe, that they tell you something and you're supposed to believe it because they're smart and you're dumb. There's a movie called, I think it's called Melissa with Danny DeVito, and this little girl, I think her name is Melissa. And anyway, she's a lot smarter than Danny DeVito, who's the dad. But there's this routine he goes through. He says, I'm big, you're small. I'm smart, you're dumb. You know, and he tells it to the little girl. And that's what the scientists are telling you today, that you're dumb, they're smart, you better believe what they say, and you cannot question it. Okay, and if you have a population that will just sit down and take that at face value, then you have a very controllable population. And science is one of the main areas where communist, atheist education comes into play because they're teaching you evolution. The Big Bang is evolution, that this universe just began, it just exploded one day, and there it is, everything. All in order, all the protons the same, etc. Everything has just popped out of there, and then after a while you have human beings walking around the planet. All of this is just random. It's like this one guy said the other day. He said, evolution is like believing that you take a tornado into a junkyard and you let the tornado work and run around and swirl all of the junk cars around. And when the tornado moves away, you have a beautiful Mercedes-Benz sitting in the middle of the junkyard. That's the equivalent of believing evolution. And it's a good example. I love it. It's a very common sense example that all this stuff just happened. And then, you know, anyway, it's absurd. It's absurd. But anyway, that's what they teach you. And they also teach you is that all the human beings are advanced from monkeys. In other words, you're just a little bit smarter monkey than the one still out there in the jungle. You don't have a soul. That's what they're telling you. You don't have a spirit. Just sit there and learn your coursework just like everybody else and become good little marionettes in this world that they control. So through science is where they really control the kids, by teaching them bogus science, especially evolution, is at the center core of both cosmological and planetary and geology, etc., that all this stuff just popped up and happened all on its own. And then the same with biological evolution, that it just happened. These things, these molecules just came together and just happened to do this, and all of a sudden you got people walking around. But you're not a person with a soul, with a being, with an individuality. You're just a little smarter monkey than the ones over there in the swinging around the banana trees. That's what they're teaching kids. They're teaching little girls that they're little boys, and little boys that they're little girls, and you know, I mean, it starts there, and it goes downhill very quickly. So education, as it's being taught in the United States today, is junk. It's garbage. By the way, I wanted to get into this story relative to education. I got this from Private Information. It's a boarding school in Wisconsin. I think it's university level, but I wasn't sure. But anyway, 140 students they sequestered took off to a motel where they have to be quarantined individually for a period of 2 weeks. And then allegedly they were like somehow had access, or somebody had access to them who was tested positive for COVID-19. So now they have all of these students sequestered, quarantined, and who knows what's going on there? Yeah, they don't know where these students are. The parents don't know, because they don't want the parents going there getting their kids out. So the parents don't know where they are. Plus, the parents have to pay for this hotel in addition to what they're paying to go to this boarding school. And who knows if some of these kids will ever see their parents again. Because after the end of this 14 days, don't you think some of them are going to test positive with the fake COVID-19 test? Of course, some of them will test positive, and that'll keep going on and on. And some of these kids may never see their parents again. The parents may never see their kids again. So this is what's going on. And who knows, at night somebody could be going into these individuals' rooms, drugging them while they're sleeping, and who knows? This is really crazy, absolute craziness, and this is happening today. So that's why I tell people, get your students out of schools. You got to keep them home. This is a period of time, unfortunately, when education is an absolute disaster. And some parents are going to go to pick up their kids at school someday, and their kids are not going to be there. And some of those parents are never going to see their kids again because of this COVID-19 thing, which I'm not going to mention any details about it. But if you just homeschool your kids. And that's why I developed my two course programs for homeschooling. One of them, by the way, let me go through this, is the education package for K-12 university. It's also for the parents, so the parents learn along with the students. There's the 13 books that come with it. Then there's all of the discs and downloadable material. And 158, or let me see, there's 58 lectures relative to the books, another 50 lectures relative to the just the education program, and then there's another 89 lectures that you can upgrade. So that's one of the education packages for K-12 and university. The other one is the Grow Towers. Now, this is something that people have been going to my website. They get very interested, and they're purchasing the Grow Towers. They could be for commercial use. They could be for people in their homes growing vegetables, etc. But the thing I wanted to stress this week is that the Grow Towers have a education package that's accredited. All of the coursework, all of the course notes, all the exercises are there, and it can cross-reference for example, not only for biological types subjects, but it can be used in mathematics because of the different, there's mathematical modeling that goes on, etc. And it's also used in some places, both high school, even grade school, and university, as a business project where the students learn how to grow vegetables, create a business, sell the product, and balance the books, and understand profit and loss statements, etc. So it's a very good exercise. These are the grow towers. You find them on my webpage, jmccsci.com. So I'm trying to supplement and help the homeschool families and schools, and even schools that are in session. I've been in contact with some schools that were in, they're actually in session, private schools, some of them private Christian schools, and they're looking for fundamentally Christian family-based texts and information. And so I have my education package, which is my own material. Then there's the Grow Tower, which is accredited. So you can have get credit, course credit for those. And somebody asked me if my personal coursework, the Professor James McCanny coursework, is accredited. And the answer is no. What this is, what my work is showing you how accredited science is garbage science. That's the whole point. And so it's supplemental, and it's to educate students in real science and to learn to identify atheist science, this, you know, man evolved from the ape science is garbage, and what the real story is. There is a real story. There's a real understanding of this universe we live in, and it's very basic. It's very simple. So when they talk about my comet work or the different situations, what happens when a big comet comes through the solar system, this is part of the grand design. And when you understand it, you start to see that, yes, there's a design here. It's repeated throughout the universe. And the human beings in this universe are there on purpose. They didn't just evolve out of some kind of mythical evolution process. No, they're here for a reason. They were put here. It's part of the grand design. So that's something you learn in my coursework, which is totally the opposite of what you will get in accredited science. So no, my work is not accredited. You will not get course credit for it, but you will learn something that you will learn how to recognize the agenda that's being driven home with the standardized science that you would be forced to learn in a school or a school accredited school situation if you're a homeschooler, etc. So at any rate, once again, my webpage, jmccsci.com, go there. I think you'll be presently surprised very soon. There's going to be an upgrade to the webpage. But right now it's a bit dense, so when you go there, expect to spend a little bit of time there. But what I do is offer solutions to the problems of food, energy, water, secure sheltering and buildings from the shipping container buildings, etc. And then the education package, which is very important. This is James McCanny. This is my Science Hour. And as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.